This is Talk of the Nation. I'm Neil Conan in Washington. For 3 months now and more, the post-war situation in Iraq has been characterized by frustration. U.S.-led forces have been unable to restore security and many basic services in many parts of the country. A generally warm reception from many Iraqis has degenerated into a guerrilla war, with a dozen attacks a day and a dispiriting series of casualties. Today, what may be the best news for U.S. forces since the fall of Baghdad. An elite unit of American troops raided a villa outside the northern city of Mosul earlier today. They were fired on as they approached and stormed the building after a four-hour firefight. Four bodies were found inside the ruins. U.S. officials in Baghdad tell NPR News that they are Saddam Hussein's two sons, Uday and Qusay. Qusay's 14-year-old son and a bodyguard. As yet, the White House has not confirmed the identity of those four people killed in today's operation. Other than Saddam himself, Uday and Qusay are the most wanted men in Iraq. They are formerly senior officials in the Iraqi government and believed to be key figures in the ongoing resistance. Both were hated and feared for their widely reported habits of debauchery, torture, rape, and murder. This hour will bring you the latest on what we know of what happened today, reaction to this dramatic news, and talk about how this development may affect the course of the occupation. And we'd like your thoughts as well, particularly if you're an Iraqi American or if you've been to Iraq. Our telephone number is 800-989-8255. That's 800-989-TALK. And our email address is TOTN@NPR.org. We begin here in Washington. NPR's national security correspondent Tom Jelton is with us in Studio 3A. And Tom, as always, welcome to the program.
Thank you, Neil.
Can you tell us what you know of what happened in Mosul today? First of all, how did U.S. forces find out that these men were in this particular building?
Neil, that's the $15 million question. U.S. military received intelligence that Uday and Qusay were in a house in Mosul. Actually, it was a villa. We've been seeing pictures of it, a very big palatial house, allegedly belonging to one of the Hussein family members. We don't know the source of that intelligence. I say it's a $15 million question because, in fact, there is a $15 million reward out for information that would have led to the arrest, capture, or killing of Uday and Qusay Hussein. So I think we're waiting now to see whether there are some Iraqis who supplied that information and might therefore be in position to get this reward. At any rate, based on that intelligence, U.S. Special Forces surrounded the house, mainly troops from the 101st Airborne Division who have responsibility for that sector of Iraq. A very sizable force, about 200 troops. There was a firefight. As you can imagine, it was a very one-sided fight with some 200 highly armed U.S. troops against apparently just four people inside that house. Once the fight was over, U.S. troops, of course, went in, searched it. They found four bodies. Two of the bodies immediately were identified as having a physical resemblance to Uday and Qusay Hussein. A third body was that of a teenage boy. U.S. officials believe this is probably Qusay's 14-year-old son, who was known to travel with him. The fourth body is unidentified, although officials believe it was probably a bodyguard and possibly a nurse to Uday. Uday was seriously wounded, seriously injured in an assassination attempt a number of years ago and was in a lot of pain, required medical care, so he may have had someone with him to help look after his health. Now, as I say, two of those bodies have been preliminarily identified. Our reporter Guy Raz in Baghdad, who I think you're going to be speaking with in a few minutes, has some intriguing more details on that, which I'm sure he's anxious to share. With positive identification, of course, we'll have to wait for laboratory analysis of the remains.
And that may be why the White House has yet to confirm publicly the identities. But you've reported that U.S. officials have told you there's a very good chance that these two men are Uday and Qusay Hussein.
With each passing hour, Neil, officials that I've spoken with are increasingly confident that, in fact, they are who they are. Mm-hmm. They are who they're believed to be.
I'm just going to glance into the studio, into the control room just for a second. Is Guy Raza up with us as yet? Guy, are you there in Baghdad? Guy here. Was there. Well, I was afraid that was the sat phone going completely haywire there. But Guy Raz is on the sat phone with us from Baghdad. It's a little dicey. I hear it jolting in and out at the moment. Guy, if you can hear me, could you tell us the news that you reported about an hour ago?
Neil, you're here, and I may be coming in and out. If the connection isn't good, up again here.
Yeah, we're having a great deal of difficulty with that connection. Let's take that down and see if we can reestablish somehow and go back to Tom Jelton here with us in Studio 3A in Washington. We'll get that report from Guy Raz in just a moment.
Well, Neil, what I'm going to do is I'm going to tell you what Guy has been reporting, since he can't tell you himself, but it's been some good reporting on his part. He has heard, according to what we've heard from Guy, that from U.S. officials in Baghdad, that the bodies of Uday and Qusay Hussein have been positively identified by someone who would know them very well, and that is Abid Hamid Mahmoud, who was the number four on the most wanted list. He was Saddam's personal security chief, his senior bodyguard, his personal secretary, as I say, right behind the two sons as far as being among the most wanted people in Iraq. He was captured by U.S. forces about a month ago, and Guy is reporting that a U.S. official in Baghdad has told him that pictures of the two bodies found in Mosul were shown to General Mahmoud, and that Mahmoud is 100% sure that, in fact, they are the sons of Saddam.
We have Guy Raz back with us on the line from Baghdad. And Guy, I don't know if you were listening, able to listen to what Tom just said, but I think he's just given us your news.
That's right, Neil. What we know is that a positive visual identification was made by a fellow called General Abid Hamid Mahmoud. He was the personal secretary to Saddam Hussein, and of course he's in U.S. custody now. He was the number four most wanted in this 55 most wanted list. He's been shown images of the bodies. He's identified them, and as we know right now, DNA testing is going on. But General Mahmoud, who was very close to Saddam for many, many years, knew his sons, has positively identified these bodies as numbers 2 and 3, of course, Uday and Qusay Hussein, the sons of Saddam Hussein.
And thanks, Guy. The news, I'm sure, has been racing through Baghdad, perhaps not as the quality that you have, but certainly the every indication so far that these two bodies are the sons of Saddam Hussein. Is there any reaction there yet?
Indeed, I'm sure it's been racing through the city like wildfire. Of course, it's about 10:15 at night here. There's an 11 p.m. curfew that's been put throughout the city by U.S. forces here in Baghdad. So most people are normally off the streets after dark, after about 8:30 p.m. this time of year. Normally, we would start to hear some gunfire or some shooting in the air, some celebratory fire. I haven't heard any of that yet, so it's possible that the news isn't filtering through the city as fast as I would imagine, but I can certainly imagine that once it does filter through the city, people will be celebrating this apparent killing of these two very, very despised men.
And Tom Jelton, I'm sure you've been working the phones here. I don't think anybody in Washington is exactly shooting off weapons as yet, but there may be celebrations.
Well, Neil, I've heard more confidence and high spirits from U.S. officials today than I've heard in weeks. And this, to the extent there is caution, and there still is caution because we don't have 100% positive identification yet, confirmation through laboratory means. And one of the reasons, of course, that there is caution is that there have been so many false alarms in this regard. We remember in the first night of the war, U.S. officials were reasonably confident then that they had killed Saddam, and in fact, there were a lot of reports that Saddam's sons were killed then, the first night of the war. Then on April 7th, another airstrike in downtown Baghdad. Again, there was said to have been a reliable intelligence that Saddam and at least one of his sons were in that location that was hit. Turns out that they were not. Then just a couple of weeks ago, we had yet another strike on a convoy of vehicles headed from Iraq to Syria. And immediately we heard that a U.S. team sent in a DNA squad to analyze the remains of somebody killed there, believing that it was possibly Saddam himself. All of those turned out to be false alarms, so a little bit of caution here is well understood.
One thing, though, that differs from this situation, and certainly those two bomb attacks in Baghdad, you were telling us earlier, one big difference is that in this case, bodies were found.
Bodies were found, and they were in good enough shape that some identification process is possible. Intelligence official told me that the two people, two men that they believe were Uday and Qusay Hussein, were shot up fairly badly, but nevertheless, and there's also been some reports that from all the fire that the bodies may have been somewhat charred, but nevertheless, the remains are recognizable enough that preliminary physical identification seems to be underway.
Might the sense of relief that is and cheer that is spreading through the administration here in Washington today, would it have been greater had these men been captured alive?
You know, my guess, Neil, is that there would be mixed feelings about that. On the one hand, they certainly would have been sources of information for the whereabouts of Saddam. As Guy reported, other guy who was captured, General Mahmoud, the number four on the most wanted list, Saddam's personal secretary, has apparently been helpful, cooperative with the U.S. military to the extent that he has even preliminarily identified these two men as the sons of Saddam. Well, that's an indication of what prisoners can provide to you in terms of benefits and help and assistance. On the other hand, having the two sons of Saddam Hussein would be a real nightmare, I would think, for the legal folks in the Pentagon. What are you going to do? Are you going to put them, bring them to Guantanamo? Are you going to, you know, put them on trial? Are you going to try and find some kind of war crimes venue to try them? I'm sure that this would have been a real dilemma for people in the Pentagon to be facing. In some ways, it's much simpler just to have them turn up dead. Nevertheless, still the number one quarry is still out there, uncaught. Saddam Hussein, no word at all on his whereabouts. U.S. officials do believe he is in Iraq, and they do believe he's in northern Iraq, perhaps somewhere around Tikrit, his hometown, or perhaps around Mosul, where his sons were killed. And I don't know if we're any closer to finding him today.
We are no closer to reestablishing contact with Guy Raz, whose satellite telephone seems to be on the blink. But joining us now is Simon Robinson, the Baghdad bureau chief for Time magazine, and welcome to you.
Thank you. Hi.
It is a night, as we know, in Baghdad now, that news about Saddam's sons has filtered out. Have you been able to get any reaction from Iraqis?
Well, the first news or the rumors that something big might have happened came mid-afternoon. And the first reaction from Iraqis was one of kind of disbelief. Could it be that these two sons of the former dictator, who they kind of grew to hate over the last 20 years, could it be that these two were dead? And then as time went on and the reports became more and more conclusive, of course we don't know yet for sure that it's the sons, but that as it grew more likely that it was, the people, Iraqis generally, not all Iraqis, but in Baghdad, were seemingly quite happy and welcomed the news.
Simon, if you would stay with us, we're going to take a short break in just a moment and come back after that. We also understand that Guy Raz, persevering with his satellite telephone, will also rejoin us from his position in Baghdad. We will talk to both of you. In the meantime, we will say thank you to NPR's national security correspondent, Tom Jelton, from whom we will be hearing with even later news on this throughout the day. And be sure to stay tuned to NPR News throughout the day for the latest developments on this story that is breaking from Iraq. Tom, thanks very much. We appreciate it. I'm Neil Conan. You're listening to Talk of the Nation from NPR News. This is Talk of the Nation. I'm Neil Conan in Washington. We're talking about the latest dramatic news out of Iraq. If you're joining us late, there was a firefight in a villa outside the city of Mosul in northern Iraq earlier today. U.S. troops recovered four bodies from the ruins of that villa after a four-hour firefight. They are, according to military officials, senior officials in Baghdad, who have spoken with NPR's Guy Raz, they have been identified as the bodies of Uday and Qusay Hussein, the sons of Saddam Hussein, numbers 2 and 3 on the most wanted list in Iraq. The third body is apparently the 14-year-old son of Qusay Hussein, and the fourth, a bodyguard who was perhaps also a nurse to Qusay Hussein, who was injured in an assassination attempt several years ago. With us on the line from Baghdad is NPR's Guy Raz, and also with us is Simon Robinson, the Baghdad bureau chief for Time magazine. Guy has been able to report a little bit on the identification process. And Guy, remind us, you were reporting earlier, the number 4 man on the most wanted list has looked at photographs of the people who were killed today and identified them as the sons of Saddam Hussein.
That's right, Neil. General Abid Hamid Mahmoud was Saddam's personal secretary. He was also his security chief. He worked with him for many, many years. He knew Saddam very, very, very well. He knew his sons very well and his family. He was captured last month, and General Mahmoud, apparently, according to U.S. officials here, has been very, very cooperative so far. He's been talking. He's been telling U.S. officials some important information. He was shown some visual photos. He was shown some images of the bodies today, and he left no doubt, according to a U.S. official I spoke to here in Baghdad, that these indeed are the bodies of Uday and Qusay Hussein.
Was the person to whom you spoke able to answer the question, and I'm just posing it in my mind, and I suspect you asked him the same thing, was this man the source of the information on where these two men, Uday and Qusay, were hiding?
Nobody here in Baghdad is willing to discuss that issue so far. That's a very, very sensitive topic, as you might imagine. Intelligence gathering generally has been very, very sensitive here in Baghdad. Military officials are very unwilling to discuss how they gather the information, who they get it from. It's possible that General Mahmoud was the source, but I don't have any information on whether he was for sure.
Simon Robinson, you were telling us just before the break that there's a sense of incredulity in the Iraqi people whom you've been able to talk to on the streets of Baghdad there this evening. This is obviously perhaps the best news since the fall of Baghdad for U.S. forces. What are Iraqis telling you?
They're telling me that they, at first, that they couldn't believe it. Interestingly, actually, I'm at the Palestine Hotel, which, of course, was the scene of the outside where the entry fell. And there's quite a fierce firefight going on right outside the hotel. One of the bigger firefights that has been in Baghdad over the last month or so. I can see tracer bullets going into the air right outside the hotel and in the streets outside the hotel. It's very difficult from where I am to tell whether that's American fire or not. I suspect it is. But guests are kind of scurrying into the hotel.
Does it look like a firefight to you, or the celebratory?
Absolutely.
So it's
no, absolutely. It's a large firefight.
Well, that's an alarming development.
Yeah, I really can't give you much more beyond that, except that I can see tracer bullets into the air all through. I mean, they're going directly into the air, so it could be that the people are celebrating. I wouldn't say that that's a certainty, but. It could be.
I have to ask, Simon, I hope you're in a secure position.
I am, as secure as can be, yeah, sure.
Okay, but before this... go ahead.
Neil, can you hear me? It's Guy Raz.
Yes, go ahead, Guy.
Neil, I'm probably about 2 miles away from where Simon is at the Palestine Hotel, and there's been a tremendous amount of gunfire here in our neighborhood, just started just a few seconds ago. And it appears, as it sounds, as if it would be celebratory fire. Of course, I have no way of confirming that. It doesn't seem like there's any firefight back and forth going on, but there is a tremendous amount of gunfire. Maybe if I put the phone out the window, you might be able to hear some of it. Shall I try that?
Please do.
I don't know if you heard that, Neil.
We were able to hear just a few bursts, I think, of gunfire.
And I can see, again, some tracer, what appear to be tracer bullets in the air as well, going up from my window here, all over the place.
Simon Robinson, from what you were saying earlier, people are not reacting to this as if it was a celebratory gunfire.
Well, no, I mean, that's the guests at the hotel. Perhaps we're not used to celebratory fire in this part of the world. And the more I look at it, the more that these tracers are going pretty much directly up into the air. So I think what Guy's saying is probably right. It probably is a celebration. So to answer your question about how people are feeling in Baghdad, I guess there's a group of people with guns who are feeling pretty good right now. Neil, can you hear me?
Yes, we can. Guy, go ahead.
It's becoming very, very, it's becoming quite concentrated now. Let me put this out the window and see if you can hear it again.
All right. Yes, that's coming through much clearer.
Hi, Neil.
Yes, it's much clearer this time, and we have to tell people who are not as familiar as you and I are with the characteristics of satellite telephones that some of the effects there are caused by the phone itself.
Yes, right.
Simon, keep your head down, and thank you very much for joining us today.
Thank you.
Simon Robinson is Baghdad Bureau Chief for Time Magazine, and he was joining us from the Palestine Hotel there in Baghdad. The scene, of course, people will remember the Palestine Hotel just across Firdaus Square, where that great statue of Saddam Hussein was pulled down at the previous celebratory moment in Baghdad. The gunfire that Guy Raz is seeing and letting us listen into, celebrating apparently the death of Uday and Qusay Hussein, the sons of Saddam Hussein, reportedly killed by U.S. troops in a firefight in a city at a villa in outside of the city of Mosul in northern Iraq earlier today. And Guy Raz, thank you so much for your report. We appreciate it.
Thank you, Neil.
Guy Raz will also be back on NPR News later in the day as events warrant, and bringing us the latest developments from Baghdad as this story continues to develop. Joining us now from Fallujah in Iraq is NPR's Eric Westervelt. He's at a base camp with the U.S. Army's 2nd Brigade of the 3rd Infantry Division, a brigade that was a major part of the invasion of Iraq and played a large part in the liberation of Baghdad. And Eric Westervelt, good evening. And what can you tell us about the reaction of U.S. forces that you are with to the news of the apparent death of Uday and Qusay Hussein?
Good evening, Neil. I think soldiers here were pretty excited. There were some broad smiles when the news broke a few hours ago and soldiers were going to the mess hall for dinner. There had been some serious frustration that these soldiers who had been fighting in Iraq now for 4 months that Saddam Hussein and his sons had eluded capture, even though you know, the 3rd Infantry Division and the Marines overthrew his government pretty quickly. So there was certainly some excitement here and some encouragement, although many said we've still got the big one to capture, meaning Saddam Hussein. And I think many are kind of waiting for Saddam to be captured to really celebrate, but certainly a positive step for many of these soldiers, if it's true that his sons are killed.
I understand there were fresh attacks on the 3rd ID today.
That's right. There's pretty much almost daily attacks on the 2nd Brigade, one or the other units that's out on patrol or going on errands or deliveries and going about their humanitarian and military work here in and around the Fallujah area. And tonight was no different. There was a small arms attack on one group, and there were some casualties, some soldiers injured. It looks none were killed at this point. But, you know, a soldier was killed Friday by an explosive device that was set off as his Humvee rounded a corner right near a bridge going into Fallujah. There are pretty much nightly RPG attacks, many of them inaccurate and don't hit anybody, but they certainly fire them. And then another group, 315th Infantry, nearby here has taken pretty much nightly mortar fire. So many of these attacks have increased in intensity and in sophistication while these soldiers have been here. And I don't think the death of Saddam's sons will in any way change that security situation. They're still pretty much on edge and taking a lot of precautions whenever they leave this compound right outside Fallujah.
The 2nd Brigade of the 3rd Infantry Division, as we mentioned, a key unit that participated in the invasion of Iraq and has been there ever since. Word today that they may be rotated, maybe not back home, but at least out of the combat zone.
Yeah, that's right. It looks like that within days they could be moving out of a combat zone and back into Kuwait. But many of the soldiers here are greeting the news with skepticism. They've heard before several times that they might be going home and then only, you know, kind of have the rug yanked out from under them. So right now they're a little skeptical of that, and many of them have a kind of "we'll believe it when we see it" approach to that. But, you know, they're very tired. They've been here for 4 months. They've been in combat for 4 months. They crossed over in late March and have really been fighting ever since. And they're certainly looking forward, many of them, to at least getting out of Fallujah, this hot spot in the Sunni Muslim belt that's been a focal point for anti-U.S. resistance to the forces here. So they're looking forward to getting out of that, but they're not there yet. And many of them, you know, won't be happy till they're on a plane home back to Fort Stewart, Georgia, where they're based.
Eric Westervelt, thanks again for speaking with us this evening.
Sure, Neil. Glad to help.
NPR's Eric Westervelt on the line with us from the brigade headquarters of the U.S. Army's 2nd Brigade of the 3rd Infantry Division outside the city of Fallujah, north and west of Baghdad. Earlier today, White House Press Secretary Scott McLennan briefed reporters, and joining us now from the White House is NPR's White House correspondent Don Gagne. And Don, good to have you on the show.
Hi, Neil. Thanks.
Any official White House reaction? As we reported earlier, they've not officially confirmed that these are Uday and Qusay Hussein.
Right. Scott McLennan, just in the last hour, said to us when asked directly about this that he's not in a position at this time to confirm anything. He did confirm that President Bush has had several conversations today with Defense Secretary Donald Rumsfeld. And while they do talk quite often, it's not normal for them to have that kind of a series of conversations over the course of the day unless something significant is going on. And the White House just wants to nail it down first. The president himself did not have any public events on his schedule today. So there has been likely will not be any opportunity to get a direct reaction from him on this. And I think they're happy with that for now, knowing that it is still a breaking and unfolding story.
Yet after what seems to be weeks of being questioned about U.S. intelligence failures and 16 words in the State of the Union message, it must be refreshing.
You can feel everybody is kind of buoyant here today among the White House staff, because they have had a couple of difficult weeks. And I should add, those questions about what the president said in the State of the Union address when he was making the case for war, those questions have not gone away in this same briefing where there were many, many questions about Saddam Hussein's sons. There were also still questions about the president and remarks he has made that the White House has been answering a lot of questions about of late. But still, privately, you hear White House officials saying that they are pretty sure this is good information that they're getting. Again, they don't want to get too far ahead of the story. They're letting the Department of Defense handle most of the heavy lifting in terms of commenting so far. But they do feel really good to have this kind of a story to talk about today.
NPR White House correspondent Don Gagne, thanks very much.
Thank you.
We're reporting on the news from Iraq on what is reported to be, to NPR News, by senior American officials in Baghdad, the death of Uday and Qusay Hussein, killed in a firefight with American forces near Mosul earlier today. You're listening to Talk of the Nation from NPR News. And joining us now from his home in Virginia is retired U.S. Marine Colonel Gary Anderson, who's provided us with some very perspicacious military analysis over the past several months. Colonel, good to have you back on the program.
Good to be here.
How will the deaths of Saddam Hussein's sons, if this turns out to be confirmed, how would that affect the guerrilla war as it's been characterized there in Iraq?
Well, Neil, you know, of course, obviously we got to get this thing confirmed, and that's the important thing now. But the world is going to be a better place without those two characters, and hell will be a worse place for having them. But I think we need to make sure that we're not too euphoric over this. They're symbols. Their dad's a symbol, and maybe hopefully they'll find him in the cellar someplace too. But we don't know how much on a day-to-day basis these guys have been involved in the in this proto-resistance movement that they're trying to put together.
Well, at least before and during the war, Qusay Hussein was credited with being in charge and developing the Fedayeen Saddam, the fighters who played such an important part in the war and have continued to, in the resistance.
Yeah, there's a real military genius. You take a look at the reports of the way he handled his troops and so forth. He may have organized them fairly well. It sounds like he was not a bad bureaucrat. But it sounded to me like he was like a chicken with his head cut off when he was given a chance to actually move troops around the countryside. And from what I understand, a lot of regular Army folks credit him with some of the blunders that resulted in the very quick fall of Baghdad. So we're not talking about a military genius here. But, you know, he's a symbolic. He and his brother and his dad are all symbolic characters. And certainly getting rid of them will be important. But we need to remember that we know now that Idid, even though we went after him and kind of personalized the Somalia thing, we know that he wasn't quite as in charge of the resistance in Somalia that we thought he was at the time. So I think we shouldn't get euphoric. I think we should be glad, in fact, if they've got him. But I think we need to realize there are a lot of bad Ba'athists still out there, and they need to be hunted down, and we shouldn't get too complacent, even if we've gotten these two characters.
We just have a minute or so left in this segment, Gary, but I did want to ask you, these two high-value personalities found with a 14-year-old boy and one bodyguard, does that sound logical to you?
Well, basically nothing that those folks did in the lead-up or the conduct of the war made a lot of sense. Now, if they really were on the run and trying to be cagey about keeping themselves out of sight, maybe that does make sense. I don't, frankly, you've got better situational awareness than I do on what supposedly happened there. So it's kind of hard for me to comment, Neil.
Well, Colonel Anderson, thank you as always for joining us.
Okay, thank you.
Retired U.S. Marine Colonel Gary Anderson on the phone with us from his home in Virginia. When we come back, we'll talk with a soldier who is with the 3rd Infantry Division outside of Fallujah and talk a little bit about what Uday and Qusay Hussein did to earn their despised reputation in Iraq. I'm Neil Conan. It's Talk of the Nation from NPR News. This is Talk of the Nation. I'm Neil Conan in Washington. Senior U.S. military officials in Baghdad have told NPR News that the bodies of two of four men killed in a firefight in a villa outside of Mosul in northern Iraq earlier today are Uday and Qusay Hussein, the sons of Saddam Hussein after their father, the most wanted men in Iraq. The White House has yet to confirm the deaths, the identity of those killed. We're speaking today about the implications about what happened and the implications of what happened. And if you'd like to join our conversation, the telephone number is 800-989-8255, 800-989-TALK, and the email address is totn@npr.org. Joining us now from outside of Fallujah, Iraq, is Specialist Shane Brooks, who's with the 2nd Brigade of the 3rd Infantry Division. I hope I have that right, Specialist Brooks.
Yes, sir, that's right.
Can you tell us where you're from?
From Coleman, Alabama.
And how long now have you been in Iraq?
In Iraq, 4 months and 2 days.
Not that anybody's counting. When did you hear the news today about the apparent deaths of Uday and Qusay Hussein, and what's your reaction?
We heard it about mid-afternoon or somewhere around lunch, and it really doesn't matter to us because it's not going to stop the attacks, whether they're caught dead or not. Mainly it's just, I think it'll help out the civilians around here. Maybe they're happy for it. But it really doesn't change anything that we do.
It's been a while since you've had good news, though.
Oh, yes, sir. A while.
And is this going to, we've all heard about the morale difficulties in the 3rd Infantry Division, the frustration with the length of time that you've had to spend there compared with other troops who've been rotated home, and some of the frustration that's built up over that. Will this alleviate that to some degree?
I don't think it'll make a change of who's going to go home sooner or not, but we're supposed to be going back to Kuwait, hopefully get replaced, but we've been here 10 months and 2 days now, so I think we're just going to sit around and wait for a year.
Can you give us a little bit of an idea of what you do there every day?
Yeah, I'm the XO's driver for 164. I drive the S3, Major Donovan, drive his Humvee.
And S3, he'd be the head of operations, right?
Roger.
And so you're all over the place. You get to see a lot.
Yeah, I've been to Fallujah 5 or 6 times. When we was in Baghdad, we went out there on a daily basis. I've been around most of wherever we go.
We wake up almost every morning now with news of another attack against U.S. forces. We've all seen pictures of Humvees being lifted by cranes after being hit by RPGs or riding over mines. Is that something that's in your mind every single day?
Oh, yeah. Every time we leave the compound, we always make sure our safety precautions are high and all the weapons are loaded. And you always got to watch where you're going and what you run over with all these little IED bombs everywhere. It's pretty scary every time you leave.
Do you feel secure, though, in your base?
Oh, yeah, in the base I feel secure. We have a big perimeter with people always on guard. I ain't really worried about nothing happening inside the compound.
Well, thank you very much for joining us. Is there anybody to whom you'd like to say hello before we let you go?
Oh, yeah, I'd like to say hey to my wife, Jessica, in Alabama. I miss you and I love you.
Okay, well, thanks very much, and we hope that you two can get together soon.
Yeah, hopefully. Thank you.
Thank you. That was Specialist Shane Brooks, who was with the 2nd Brigade of the 3rd Infantry Division, speaking with us live from outside of Fallujah in Iraq. Joining us now, Uday and Qusay Hussein are listed as targets 2 and 3 on the military's most wanted list in Iraq. The stories of their cruelty have filled many lurid reports since the fall of Baghdad, and indeed for many years before that. But they played also very important roles in Saddam Hussein's regime. With us now to talk about who Saddam Hussein's are, or were, is Simon Henderson, author of Instant Empire, Saddam Hussein's Ambition for Iraq. He's with us from his hotel room in Las Vegas, and thanks for being with us.
Good morning to you.
There are a lot of horror stories coming out of Iraq about Uday and Qusay Hussein. Who were they, though, politically in Saddam Hussein's regime?
Politically, they were very important people, which is why they ended up as 2 and 3 on the list of the 55 and were aces in the pack. In fact, Saddam seemed to see himself seemed to think that his regime could be extended after him through his sons. And so for many years had been, until he was overthrown, had been bolstering the the reputation and the image and the status of his sons. But there are some curious wrinkles to this, because in fact Uday, who's the eldest one, was in fact number three in the list, and Kusay, the younger one, was in fact number two on the list. For many years, Uday had been considered the successor to Saddam, but was a clearly a what we would call a disturbed individual, and frankly a maniac. And after a failed assassination attempt on him in 1996, in which he was badly injured and partially paralyzed below the waist, Kusay has emerged as the more likely successor until, of course, mid-April when the whole ghastly regime was overthrown.
Mm-hmm. Kusay, as we heard earlier, was also involved in the organization and leadership of the Fedayeen Saddam.
Yes, well, both of them had security roles. In fact, it was Kusay who was the in charge of the special security organization and the special Republican Guard, the very elite, the inner circles of Saddam's security and military apparatus. And in fact, to my memory, it was Uday who was, that is the elder brother, the mm-hmm. more deranged brother, who was nominally in charge of the Fedayeen Saddam.
Ah.
But I don't think this was a real role for him, because his behavior over the years has been so erratic that although his father would have given him status, I don't think he would have trusted him much with responsibility.
The sons were also involved in the publication of a major newspaper in Iraq before the war. Babel was the publication.
Yes, this was Uday's role. I mean, this is a curious aspect of Saddam. Saddam thought that not only he was a strong political leader of Saddam, of Iraq, but he was also an effective communicator. It was a bizarre thing to think, because in fact he was a perfectly lousy communicator. As we've seen so many times from his television appearances, they were stilted. You know, if he had ever tried to get a job in American television, they would have shown him the door very quickly, because he had no manner towards the microphone and towards the camera. Saddam saw himself as, apart from the great leader, as the great communicator, and he liked his sons to have something of this role as well, and he saw in Uday, the elder son, a similar sort of talent. Frankly, I think he was mistaken, but he allowed Uday to build up not only a newspaper empire centered on this newspaper, Babel, but also a radio and television empire, one of which was a pop music, bizarrely, of course, that means Western and indeed American pop music channel, which Uday used supposedly to communicate with the youth of Iraq.
Our telephone number is 800-989-8255. We have time for a few calls if you'd like to talk more about the implications of the reported deaths of Uday and Kusay Hussein. Again, this has not been 100% confirmed by U.S. officials as yet, but as Tom Jelton and Guy Raz have been reporting to us throughout the hour, this is getting more and more certain as the day progresses. In any case, let's go to a phone call now. Patrick joins us on the line from Miami, Florida.
Hi, thanks for taking my call.
Sure, and thanks for being patient, Patrick.
Guy Raz mentioned earlier that DNA tests were going to be used in order to confirm the identities of some of the bodies that were killed. I'm curious to find out the source of whatever DNA they already have that they intend to match it with.
Any idea on that, Simon?
Yes, I mean, several relatives of Saddam in the past have fled to the West, and since the overthrow of his regime, have acknowledged their presence to the American authorities. There's some daughters involved there. And so one can only imagine that DNA has been donated or indeed taken from these people. I'm not a specialist on DNA, so I'm not quite sure how close a relative you have to be in order to be able to get a match. But if they are doing DNA testing and the brothers were amongst the dead, then at least two of them will appear to have the same DNA or similar DNA. And if that can be matched to others who we know were part of Saddam's direct family, then I suspect, and I have to take more specialist guidance on this, I suspect you can get a match which, for all intents and purposes, is 100%.
Patrick, thanks very much for the call, and we appreciate your patience.
Thank you.
We're talking about the reported deaths of Uday and Qusay Hussein in a firefight with U.S. troops in Iraq earlier today. We're speaking with Simon Henderson, the author of Instant Empire, Saddam Hussein's Ambition for Iraq, and you're listening to Talk of the Nation from NPR News. And let's see if we can get another call in. Joseph joins us on the line from Montgomery, Alabama.
Hi, how you doing today?
Very well, thank you.
Yes, sir. I just want to make a comment about, I don't think the people in Iraq are fighting because of Saddam or his two sons, which is, we're the U.S. I mean, I think we announced it clearly that we're occupying the country. And I think this most of the people over there are fighting for their liberation of their countries. And this is really, I mean, we don't want to make Americans think that these people fighting because of Saddam. I don't. If you question anyone in Iraq or even in the whole Middle East, I don't think anyone will tell you we like Saddam. I don't think anyone likes Saddam Hussein. But if we go back in the 80s, actually the U.S. that really the one who supported Saddam and they made him look like he's a big man. They announced that clearly in the TV that Rumsfeld himself who gave him the chemical and the biological. Even at the time when he hit the Kurdish, I think the U.S. denied that Saddam did this. They tried to attack that, blame Iran for doing this.
Yes.
And we're like blindly supporting Saddam Hussein. But I think it's people really need to know the truth. I don't think this war because of Saddam Hussein. This war is clearly for all. For money. We're using our poor people going there to war, fighting, dying, leaving their wives and their kids behind them because to make some other people happy in the White House sitting. And this is, I mean, I think this is the true point. That's what people really need to understand what this war about. It's not about Saddam.
Joseph, thanks very much. We appreciate it.
Thank you. And I'd like to thank you again for being. I think you guys are the best media in this country.
Well,
and I thank you so much.
Thank you very much, Joseph.
Thank you.
Simon Henderson, any idea? Obviously, you're in Las Vegas, a very different desert from the one outside of Baghdad. But any idea of what this effect might have on the war?
Well, indeed, and I think you're one of the best media in this country because you can you might listen to such nonsense by people phoning in, but you also give people like me an opportunity to kick it well into touch, to use a British metaphor, which I hope your listeners will understand. I mean, it is complete nonsense that America ever thought that Saddam was a nice guy and America ever thought that Iraq was a good country and America ever backed Saddam in a way. What America did do was recognize that during the 80s, revolutionary Iran was a major danger. They recognized also that Iraq was heavily backed by the Soviet Union, the Soviet bloc, and China, and that it was worthwhile in trying to undermine the Soviet Union if they could at least decrease some of its influence in Iraq. They made an attempt to do so. It was turned out to be a futile attempt, but I think diplomatically is worth doing. Biological and chemical weapons, frankly, came from the Soviet bloc. And if they came from the United States, it was not intentional, and it was only of a mere fraction of what was going on. But to revert to the question you asked me...
And quickly, if you would.
Yeah, and of course, perspective in Las Vegas, I have the luxury of living in air conditioning here, and if you're in a poor enlisted man or in the U.S. Army in Fallujah, it's a very different situation. But I think the arrest, well, not the arrest so much as the killing of Uday and Qusay, could be a significant event in settling down the new Iraq.
And Simon Henderson, I'm afraid we're going to have to leave it there, but thank you so much for being with us.
Thank you.
Simon Henderson's book is Instant Empire, Saddam Hussein's Ambition for Iraq. I'm Neil Conan, NPR News in Washington.